Blog Talk Radio.
He goes into telling that it was December 25th that I don't know if Jesus was born that day. The wise men came about two years later on December 25th. So, I mean, it's really, really encouraging. My daughter, sometimes I used to treat her like my daughter. My sister is an astrologer, and I'm going to send her a copy of this. Maybe this will help her believe. You know. I don't know.
The guy that we heard at the thing that we had this past week in Huntington, out of Louisiana Baptist, was an atheist. And he's proven the death of Christ. And he's written like 40 books. We hope to be able to stream that Wednesday night. It's an hour long and people stay in ribbon. Really good.
Lee Strobel. Oh, Lee Strobel. That's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a journalist. He's going to be where?
He was there Tuesday.
Oh. Okay. The convention y'all had?
Yeah. I mean, it was open, so whomever.
Right.
He went to the Senior Citizen Day. And he spoke right after the day. Well, we saw the point of grace first, and then he spoke. But it was good. Really good.
It's phenomenal.
Yes.
And he was a devout atheist.
Yes. He told
the
story. It's
amazing. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Sarah, Arthur, glad to see y'all.
Yes, sir.
Y'all made me pray a little bit longer or harder since y'all weren't here.
I asked you a prayer.
Yes, ma'am.
My boss asked me to have us pray for her getting the building fixed from the storm. The contractors still have not come out and fixed our building, and it's starting to fall apart in the back of the building, so we're going to lose our jobs if we don't get that building fixed. So.
Okay. Right.
The contractor on out, please do the job.
There you go.
Last time I had heard, he went back to work. But I talked to his wife last night. He now has COVID. And he only went to work for 2 days and they sent him back home. But he's actually been sick December. So he gives him his prayer.
He's had COVID since December?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And my granddaughter was all for yesterday.
Oh, good. What's her name again?
Yeah.
Hannah. Okay, let's hear a word of prayer. Father, we want to pray for Sarah's job. Pray that we ask, Lord, that the contractor would be impressed to and get out there and fix the building so they'll be able to continue their work and do it better. He'll have built it better so they can more comfortable and more productive. Pray for Joe. I pray, Father, for his health. I pray for his wife's health. And I pray, Father, for them both to get over it. And, Lord, we know that you can open up doors that were not open before for employment. And we just pray that this would happen for them. And I pray this struggle would make it them closer to you. And we do pray for Hannah. And Lord, you know our struggles, and I just pray that you comfort her and draw her closer to you through your grace. And I ask, Father, for your guidance as we study your word and study about the flood before you judged the world. And grace in your eyes. Now, I just pray, Lord, that you lead and guide in this our Bible to study. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, good. Let's go to the same handout that we had last week, filled with violence. We'll go over the... I'll get one. Okay. Right. I probably did, knowing me. Yeah. Would you hand this to her, please? And I'll just read. I got it on my iPad. I added a few things, a couple of comments. Thank you. Okay, there it is. All right, we're going to be reading a lot of scripture. Hello, Michelle. How you doing? You're here, huh? Bless your heart. Okay. Now, you know, this is going to hit home. And, right, I just, that's what I printed out, and that's all I have, I brought with me, is what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to get over this, because there's a lot of scripture, and I like the way we're commenting on everything. But we're talking about how the world was before God judged it. Now, he cursed Adam and Eve that they had to die. Now, they were living. Well, Adam lived, we know that, 900 years, or a little bit over 930 years. So they figured out, Whitcomb and Morris, there's a book called The Flood. And Skip refers to it a few times in this chapter. And matter of fact, I just got reserved that from the library. But there was about 1 billion people on the earth when the flood took place. And that was 1,651 years after creation. So you want to look at that, that's about 3,400 B.C. That's when this took place. And there was about 1 billion people here on the earth. And, of course, it didn't look like anything. But we want to go into a little scripture to find out why God did this. Okay? What was the conditions? Because what does Jesus say? How it's going to be when he comes back? Look at Matthew 11, 24. It's on here somewhere. I'm getting off. Matthew 24:36. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Verse 37, but as the days of Noah, Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So that's what we're going to be doing, going over scripture. That gives you a kind of a view, and I appreciate y'all's input on this so that we can see how close it is. And interesting is that what it said there in Matthew 24:39, and knew not until the flood came. they were clueless that they were doing anything wrong. It was just, having a good time. Everything is hunky dory. Huh?
Living their lives.
Living their lives, right. Stock market was up, you know. we were electing these dummies, and everything was still going on. Besides the, you know. Okay, so let's see what it says here. And here are some things that, now, just to give you an example, this Institute of Creation Research outside Dallas it was founded by Henry Morris. And he's the one of the authors of the flood that they wrote it back in the 50s. So it's a very concise and extensive book, 100 pages. Okay, let's see. Number one, preoccupation with physical appetites. Let's look at Luke 17:27. 17:27. What's that? Amen. Right, and that's a point. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 27, it says, well, it's pretty much what we just said. Look at verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon us. Okay, I'll stop there. Okay. So it took for God's grace. God's grace was from Cain. And Cain was about 500 years after creation. So you can say 3,500 B.C. Yeah, so that would be, 3,500 B.C. Then another 1,000 years of grace for let's say, wickedness continued to grow for God to say, okay, I've had enough. And then in Genesis chapter 6, in the scriptures, he says, I will not always strive with man 120 years. And then I'm like, it's over. So God is a very gracious God, long-suffering God, and he is saying today, Paul says, don't ignore the grace of God and the long-suffering of God. Don't think that he's weak. He's just long-suffering. And so he was with Cain and his crowd and all those that fell into that crowd. I'm sure there were some of Seth's offspring that were in the crowd that gave in to this stuff. But it's amazing to me it's not amazing to me, because when you talk to people about what's going on today and their remedy to it, they don't see the end coming. And so right here says in verse 27, they did eat and they drank. And I looked up the word eating, and it means devouring. It doesn't just mean, just eating. They just ate. They just went on these. They were not shy at a buffet, say it that way. Gluttony. Right.
What does that mean? I'm not familiar with that word.
What, a buffet? A buffet? I saw one of these places you go all you can eat.
Okay.
They got a bunch of them up in Branson.
I thought you were talking
Louisiana. Might have. I don't know. Hmm. Okay, I tell you what, they ate buku. Okay, and they drank, and that drank, that word drank, it means to drink a lot, alcohol, water, whatever. It means to overindulge in alcohol, things of that nature. They married wives. They were given in marriage. So everybody, I give you an example. The crowd that Jesus was talking to right here, some of the Pharisees had been married 10 times. So, and remember, this is when Jesus came to the earth. And the condition that when Jesus came to the earth wasn't, you know, that stellar. It was corrupt. It was very wicked. There was no religion. Judaism had no impact. The Romans, of course, they had everybody else was paganism. And so when Jesus came to fulfill the scriptures and to die for us on the cross, the world was ripe for the Savior. And there were some things that were, again, like Jesus is saying here, Rome ruled the world. There was one language that was written and spoken, and it was one, I would say the best language that there ever was, it was Greek, Koine Greek, and that's what this was written in, but also the Greek is very thorough in explaining something. And so those things were available, and God used them to spread the gospel because anywhere in the Roman Empire, there was peace, and that was the deal. There was peace in the Roman Empire, and everybody could go from one, like the United States. We can go from state to state and all of that. And so it was when Jesus came, and there was a propensity for all these kids to get married and then it don't work out and then they now they don't even bother getting married. You look at the births in the newspaper and it's minimum the amount of people that are married that have children now. So that's how it was in the days of Noah. So you can read the newspaper and find out, well, it's just like that. Okay, let's see. Let's look at another. They were preoccupied with physical appetites. And, if you want to know people that are preoccupied with physical appetites, you can go to New Orleans. But New Orleans is not an isolated anymore. I mean, New Orleans is very laid back. And, of course, we got Mardi Gras coming up. And that encourages a lot of indulging and being preoccupied with physical appetites. And I recommend not doing this. I recommend not going to the French Quarter during the Mardi Gras season. No way. And if you gotta go to Metairie. Thank you, Metairie. Really? Right. I mean, if you gotta go, go to Metairie. But if you've been there, done that, you got the T-shirt, There's no reason to go. Okay. Rapid advances in technology. Go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 22. I don't, what we have today as far as technological advances, it's phenomenal what we can do through technology now. And I don't know if before the flood they didn't have something better. How many of y'all been to the Ark? You've been there. I brought this book in today, but I'm not going to hand it out because y'all be looking at the pictures and not paying attention. But I'm going to leave it here. And if this is a replica, that page isn't, of the Ark, and you talk about a phenomenal experience, it'll take you all day. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
If only they had the Ark to really look like that back in the day, uh-huh. They didn't. It's not exactly what the Ark looked like.
Okay.
Because that's a palace. I've been there.
It's a palace?
But it's fallen to the
Pacific. Yeah, it's like the Bible says, but it looks like
Hey, Miss Lou, you want to sit next to me? Okay. All right. I'm all spread out here. I'm trying to look scholarly and highly intelligent, highly educated.
I've been reading all the stats, going through all that. Everybody
good. Good. Thank you. Great.
Good morning, everybody.
OJ with you?
No.
Your chauffeur?
He went off, you know, back where he lives in Mississippi. And as far as I know, he was going to get his job.
Oh, good. That's progress.
That's going on with him. And I haven't been able to get a hold of him because I don't have no phone number.
Okay.
And Frankie has his phone number, but he don't have it either.
Well, you got that handout I gave yesterday, last week, I mean?
Yes, I'm sure I do. Whatever you gave, I got it.
Okay. We're going over the violence.
I've been having studying the whole week.
Yeah, this, he admits, Ken Ham admits that this is it's a theme park type. And, of course, you know why that is. He wants to keep the place open and develop it and everything else. So, yeah, it's, like you said, it's the palace version of the Ark, okay? The upscale, all the frills, nothing's left out. You know, it's like if you bought a BMW, you would have bought the highest with all the extras, and that's what they're trying to show here. But this is the scale, and there wasn't a ship boat, this is an Ark, built this big until around pretty close to the year 2000. They didn't get this big. Matter of fact, there's one, I forget, it's a British ship, Skip brings it out, that is to scale. It's a ship, but they built it to scale. And he said the USS New Mexico is pretty close to the same size as this. So that's, they didn't get to this big until around 2000. Yeah, this is wood. Right. One of environmentals for having fits on that one. Okay, so verse 22, I think it is.
That doesn't make sense to me about future technology. I was reading. Maybe you can explain.
Well, we on verse 21?
22.
All right, 22. Yeah, 22. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor in the artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was named it. Tubal-Cain was artificer in brass, a fabricator. I would say I worked at a machine shop in Chesapeake. It was the best machine shop I ever worked at. It was air conditioned. And it wasn't air conditioned because of the guys that were working there. It was air conditioned because the machines cost so much and they had to be cooled off.
Yeah.
But what they could do with some metal, it was an Austrian company. What they could do with metal was phenomenal. And I learned about heat, They had a big old cylinder where they would heat up metal, 900 degrees. And the color of heat at 900 degrees is black.
Oh.
Is black. And so these are the same thing as what Tubal-Cain was. And so they were, these guys were highly intelligent, very intelligent. And they were able to make or build things out of brass and iron. And if you, like, if you go to the Ark, you'll see a lot of work or a lot of iron use, a lot of brass and everything. So it was nothing new for them to construct things that, you know, like you look, I'm just thinking and talking. You look at the cathedrals in Europe. I remember when we was in Cologne and was looking at this, and the girl, the tour guide, pointed up to this crane that was on this steeple. She says, that crane been there 600 years. It took 600 years for them to fix that, you know, and what did they have? They had the same equipment, but they didn't have motors. They had human beings. They had horses. They had mules. But it was the same technology or science to lift that thing up into the air and to build it and everything else. And you look at some of the buildings that the Romans built 2,000 years ago. I was watching this thing on World War II, and they were invading it was during the D-Day invasion, and they said that they didn't go through the road. These tanks didn't go through the road that was there. They went through an old Roman road that was down in the water, but they could use it, and it was solid than the ones that they were using that day. And so the technology,
engineering.
Yes, thank you. Engineering there was here, if not more, back in the days of Noah than it is today. And I understand, y'all probably know, say, we still cannot embalm people the way that the Egyptians embalm people. It's, so the secrets are out there. And it's not that we're not the most intelligent, educated. We might have a few more gadgets or toys, but the engineering and the intelligence to do it, we don't have. And so they were highly advanced.
We watched the program with Mayans.
Right.
They were highly intelligent.
Is that where the calendar that ends in year 2000 or something? People, the Mayans, of yes.
They finally had, because of Lydon, I'm sure you've heard of them, they have pretty much discovered why.
Excuse
they
me.
All left that huge place they built up on the mountain.
Right.
And it was, they'd gone through dryness before, weather, drought. But the last drought lasted a long time, and so people started leaving. But the houses, the number of individual houses up there,
do you know when the that period was?
It was before Christ, for sure.
Really? Yeah. So, yeah. It just proves that, yeah. No. So the point is, and with, is that they weren't living in grass huts or caves. That's the point. They were living in nice houses, and they were they weren't dragging their wives around by the hair, nothing that stuff, you know. They probably slapped around by their wife, as usual, you know. Not in my wife. Okay, let's look at, we looked at technology, and we looked at the grossly materialistic attitudes and interests. Well, let's look at Luke 17:28. We're going back to 27. I think we read that already. But there, there, well, let's go to the next one. We already went over that.
Are you going to Luke
1? No, we're not going there.
He changed his mind.
I changed my mind because we went over that before. But I'll just bring out, we're going to Hebrews. I don't know. I'm trying to find it. My wife said Hebrews, so that's where we're going. Hebrews 11:7. Again, they were not interested, just like today. I'm trying to follow the script here, but I'm not. They were not interested. They're more interested in materialism. You know, y'all been to Elvis's place in Memphis? He lived in a mansion. In those standards that day. Today, that would be considered a track house in a Section 8. You know? And what I'm saying is people are just getting bigger houses, bigger garages, cars and everything else. And they're focused on that, you know? And so the more things are, the more they're going to, if there's a supply and demand, they're going to give it. And they're interested in that. That's all they're interested in. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. It's a uniformitarian philosophies. Okay, I looked up the word, and it's uniformitarianism. In geology, the doctrine suggesting the Earth's geologic processes acted in the same manner and with essentially the same intensity in the past as they do in the present, and that such uniformity is sufficient to account for all geological change. So what they're saying is there was no catastrophe. And I've got this definition out of the I Googled it, like everybody, and they say it's a doctrine. It's not a theory. It's not a philosophy. It's a doctrine. This is what they teach, that what you see today has been this way for millions of years. That's what that's pretty much what they're saying. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, says something different. Would somebody read that, please?
By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith.
Thank you. God, Noah was scared. Nobody else was scared. God talked to Noah and said, buddy, I'm going to destroy. There's going to be a catastrophe like there's never been before. And I'm going to flood this world. And it's going to change things. And Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen yet. It wasn't seen. He was scared. And that's why he built that ark. He could care less whether they came and heckled him. He probably had to hire the machinist union and the carpenters union and get them there, and they were laughing at him, but when payday came, they said thank you. And so he moved with fear. And what you see out there, when I love going to Smokies. I had a couple I was talking to yesterday. They're from the Smokies. And the beautiful and all of that, the beautiful mountains and the lakes and everything. Have you been to Utah Lake, that Salt Lake in Utah? It's drying up. It's drying up. There's nothing grows around it. Nothing can grow in it. There used to be, we went to this one place where it was a beautiful, fancy bathhouse. The water's not there. You got to go way out because it's drying up. Because when the flood came and then the water subsided, it left this big old pool, a puddle. Well, they called it a lake. And so it's gradually drying up. So what you see, the beauty, that I call it, you go to the Rockies, you see the beautiful mountains in Utah, they're beautiful. and all these different places, and very, to me, beautiful. But that's God's judgment. That's his judgment. So it wasn't always this way. That's why they can go at 7,000 feet up in the mountains and find fossils of fish and things of that nature. They can find vegetation, tropical vegetation in the top of mountains. And that's because of the flood. It wasn't always that way. They can't explain that. They can't explain what's going on. And so that's why this uniformitarianism that says it's millions of years old, millions of years old, and it's a doctrine, is hogwash. It's hogwash. So that's another. Yeah, I think I told y'all this. I was going to Delgado and taking some courses on drug counseling. And the guy was saying, well, you know, we were millions of years old, and then all of a sudden we evolved, our frontal lobe evolved, and we became more intelligent. And I raised my hand. I said, man, where are you getting that at? That's what I'm just – he said, I'm just following the class, the teaching material that they gave me to teach the class. I don't know. I'm just saying. I said, okay, that's a bunch of bull. And so – and everybody liked me for that, you know. And so, but I don't care. And so, I'm not a proponent of higher education. I'm sorry, I am not. I think Well, it depends on what you're taking.
Right.
Now, if you're taking psychology or something else like that, you're wasting your time. But I mean, if you're going for a doctor, even that now. Doctor or an engineer or something that is science, true science, yeah, but not all of this stuff. And what they teach people, like my granddaughter's in going to college, and before she even went there, she had to write some, she was afraid to write what she really felt about things because she wanted to get a good grade. If she told the truth, they'd fail her.
It's not education anymore.
It's indoctrination, right? And so I'm not a proponent of it, and that's what, again, that's a symbol or a signal that we're in the end days. I understand that Sodom and Gomorrah, God allowed that perversion, and we're there. I was listening to Tucker Carlson interviewing this girl. And she's a feminist, and she's against transgender. You get a lot of liberals these days against it. And she was saying that they're getting these girls are getting boys are changing their sex and all of that, and their parents don't even know about it. They're brainwashing them in school, and they're having these surgeries done that cost a lot of money, and they're cutting off parts of their body, and they're mutilating themselves. And she says, you're not going to change yourself by some surgery. It doesn't happen. They can cut this and cut that, and you can lose this and that, but you ain't changing who you are. And this girl is a liberal. And so, but that's what our indoctrination in our schools are teaching or trying to teach today. And as it was in the days of Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah understood lasted for about 450 years. This God's grace was before he went there and tore it up. And Abraham asked him over and over again, if you got 10 righteous, we went through that discussion with God. In God's grace, you can see it. But when it happens, they ain't no undoing it. That Salt Lake up there in Utah, it ain't going to be undone. There were no lakes before Noah. There was there was water, but they didn't have all of the mountains and everything. It was like one climate. So totally different. So let's go to the next one. We're running out of time. I knew we wouldn't get through here. Go to 2 Peter 3. 2. 2 Peter 3, 2. I think that's it. Is that what I got written down there?
2:5.
2 Peter 2, 5. Okay. Let's... No, I want to go to 2 Peter 3, 3 through 7. Second Peter, we'll finish with this when I see it. 2 Peter 3. And see, I can say, okay, look, y'all go ahead and read these, you know, but I'd rather discuss them. I'd rather... And get y'all's input and what you've experienced or what you know or your attitude or what you think. Look at 3. Knowing this, this is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. And that's what geologists are. And, well, I took a course at UNO in geology. I like going to school. If anything, I'm a career student. I've been to UNO, LSU Natchitoches. I've been to St. New Orleans Baptist Theological and been to King James Bible College. I just like studying. Anyhow, there are going to be scoffers walking after their own lust. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So it's the denial of the flood. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Okay? That's how it is, and that's how it's going to be. And God's going to burn it up. There ain't going to be no atom bomb or hydrogen bomb or anything else like that. So it's going to happen that way. And his timing, his grace is amazing. And I'm very thankful for it, because I should have been dead a long time ago because of my life and my actions. Okay, so let's have a word of prayer, and we'll pick it up there tomorrow. I don't want to rush through this. I know I said we're going to hurry up. No, I don't. This is too important for us to understand. The reason it's important for us to understand, so that we can communicate it to the scoffers, to those that don't believe, so that we can intelligently and confidently convince the naysayer. Whether they get saved or not, that's not our job. Our job is to be articulate in what we believe. Any comments? Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just ask that we thank you for our time and discussion of the Word of God, and so that when we do get an opportunity to share, and there are opportunities, and I pray that every one of us would look for them, and that we would take advantage of them. And I pray, Father, for more opportunities to us so that we can minister to people in many different ways. And I just pray for the services to follow, and that you would get the glory out of the service, and that you would, if there's anyone that needs salvation, Lord, that they would come forward. And I pray you'd be with the singing and the preaching, and that it would glorify you and comfort those that will be in the attendance. Now I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Did you order that book?
I ordered them.